coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And this is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking, inviting you to stay tuned with us for this next hour as we sing praises and bring God's message. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gracious hours Thou hast given us in the past, since the early morning broadcast, the Voice of Truth, the Bible School of the Air. We pray Thy blessings upon them. And our dear Heavenly Father, bless Thy Word to the hearts of Thy people, to the hearts of sinners, and may many will be awakened to their lost condition. Because of that broadcast this morning, our Lord, that Voice of Truth, may we receive letters from hundreds and thousands awakened to their lost condition, or from many, our Father, who realize this message of truth, and they want the message in print or on tape. Our Father, You bless it for Your name's honor and glory. And we pray for this hour here. Give us strength to deliver Thy message, and give us grace to be true. Bless this people, and our Father, bless everyone in Radio Land, and thank You for this goodly number we have here this morning. And our Father, bless the sick, and be with those who are ill, be with those who are grieved, our Father in body, and we pray for them. You give them grace in these hours and mercy, as Thou wilt. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 383, Jesus Calls Us. 383. Sing it right on out. Trip this past week, went to Arley, Alabama. Spent Monday night, Tuesday night in the home of Brother F.C. Key with his family and others who came. Church in the home. The Lord gave us two gracious services, and we just sat around after services. Didn't get to bed till around 11 o'clock. And we just enjoyed the Lord. Had one brother from Jasper, 20 miles from Arley, he came both nights as Brother Baxter. What a gracious soul he is. We sat together and talked about the Lord. He's on our revolving tape plan. And it was good to see him. He drove 20 miles both nights. It was cold, The first night, Monday night, they had mid-20 weather. The weather was in the mid-20, temperature in the mid-20s. And Tuesday night, it was 16. Then Wednesday night, Monday night, it was in the mid-20s. Tuesday night, 16. Then Wednesday morning, when we got up, it was around 30. But I enjoy that weather. I like cold weather. And it was just right for me. But we had a gracious time. And then from there we went to Hattiesburg, making our way back. Stopped there Wednesday night. Had good services. Wednesday night the Lord came down. Great fellowship together. Then made our way back here Thursday morning to prepare for the services of today. So I had a busy week. I spent most of the day Friday in bed, almost all day, just preparing for the weekend today. So we just praise the Lord for the way He's working out yonder in Radio Land. It's encouraging to know what God is doing and how an early there, that small group is established and confirmed in the faith, which I praise the Lord for. And Hattiesburg. And I hope to make the missions, other missions like Picayune, Baton Rouge, and other places in the coming weeks. So you pray for us. God will give us strength to carry on the work here and then all the other places, the missions. Now let's sing another song. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Number 315. 315. Let me hide myself in thee. What a hiding place in Christ. We're still going ahead with the maintenance work, as you notice above us. Almost through with this side here, and coming back and get this side. And while we're waiting for the pews and the carpets to be installed, we may, no telling, we might go ahead and get the middle here because it's starting to show through again up above. If we can get some permanent ceiling on here and be through with the overhead. It's a lot of work, a lot of time. But like I told the men, just take your time, be careful. And someday we hope to be through with it above. But it's looking good over there. So you help us whatever way you possibly can. And as we're doing this, we're going ahead. Of course, the radio ministry and the printed page and all takes first preference. Whatever money comes in for this goes to this maintenance. Whatever comes in for the radio ministry, the printed page, the tapes, goes for that particular phase of the work also. All working together, moving together. Always something to do. There's no stopping place. No time to get lazy. I believe this. I don't believe a lazy individual can work in God's vineyard. I don't believe. There's no place to take it easy and get lazy. And leaving it for the other individual to do. Everybody working in their own place. I praise the Lord. That's what He's given us here. Workers who will work for the glory of God. And for every work He's given us, I praise the Lord for it. We have a good spirit among our workers. And my prayer is that we'll continue to prevail. God's blessing our efforts. I want to bring a message to you this morning that I brought Wednesday night in Hattiesburg. I just couldn't get over the message. After the services, I guess I could have gone on. And then we got to mulling around the house with Brother Vices, and it was still in my heart. I couldn't get it off. And I told Brother Vice, Brother Miss Vice, I said, you know, I may even preach that message again Sunday. I just can't get it off my heart. And he said, it'll be a good one. Because it was a good one there, Wednesday night. And we went over to Mrs. Scholl's Thursday morning before I left in Hattiesburg and sat down, drank a little coffee with her. And still in my heart, we were talking there, and I got to thinking along that line. We got to fellowshipping. And the trend of thought led us back to Enoch walking with God. And I said, you know, I believe I'm going to preach that thing again Sunday. And I just couldn't get off my mind. You know, when you got something in your heart and you can't get off, might as well go ahead and preach it. Because if you didn't, you'd be sorry you didn't. And so this morning I want to bring a message. And the message is Enoch walking with God. Enoch walking with God. While I was up in Hattiesburg, we stopped in at the hospital to see Mrs. Scholler, who was operated on, and we had a gracious fellowship there together. Had prayer before I left and came on back home. My brother is back in the hospital, seriously ill. You let us pray together for him, like I have, for the family. God will give him strength in these times. He's back in Baptist Hospital, seriously ill, what I understand. He's taken there yesterday or last night. So you pray for us. Pray for that family. Pray for the wife and children in these hours. I want us to turn to Genesis 5. Genesis 5, your Bible. Begin reading with the 21st verse, the 5th chapter of Genesis. The 21st verse. Genesis 5. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now, after he begat Methuselah, the 22nd verse tells us that Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 305 years. And Enoch walked with God. You get that statement there? And Enoch walked with God, with his Creator, with his Redeemer. And he was not, for God took him. God took him. Yes, there will be a day when God will take us. They'll look for us, won't find us. God took him. God took him. Now I want us to, let me read from Hebrews. We want to turn, all right, to it. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. There's something else here there about Enoch. The 11th chapter, in that 5th verse, by faith, Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then the 6th verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let me ask you one important question this morning, my friends. Are you walking with God? You may say, well, I'm not walking with him like Enoch did. I believe God personally walked with Enoch upon this earth, fellowship with him. But how do you and I walk with the Lord? How do you and I today walk with God? The answer is given. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We walk with him by faith today, not by sight, not by his bodily presence, but by faith we walk with God. I walk with him. I enjoy him. I relish in him. We have sweet fellowship together, my Lord and I. Singing I go along life's road, praising my Lord, fellowshipping with him, walking with him. Those who walk with God are well pleasing to God. As we just read, Hebrews 11:5. Walking with God suggests friendship, a close association with him, a warm and a cordial relationship between the two. It suggests one who knows the fear of God. Do you know the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom? Is the beginning of that walk with him.
And also, he knows the love of God. Knows that God loves him. No question in his heart and mind of God's love. David writes in Psalms 119:63, I am a companion of all those who fear thee and of those who keep thy precepts. Enoch's testimony, what was it again? He pleased God. Now, how do we please Him? How do you and I please God? You listen this morning. How do you and I please God? We read in John 8:29, Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. And then in Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh or walking after the flesh cannot please God. You must walk in the Spirit to please Him. Enoch gave evidence that he pleased God. His own conscience bore witness to his testimony. The Holy Spirit of God witnessed with his spirit that he pleased God, that he was a child of God. To Enoch, God was a living friend. You know, I often, every now and then, I hear something, God is dead. God is dead. And when you hear people talking like that, you can be sure that those individuals who are saying such things, they are the ones who are dead in trespasses and sins. They are dead. Because every one of us, by nature, are dead in trespasses and sins until God quickens us and makes us alive in Christ. Calls us to fellowship with Him in Christ. God calls us to fellowship with Him in Christ. So Enoch gave evidence that he pleased God. And God was a living friend to Enoch, in whom he confided. He believed him and trusted him. Enoch was loved by him. Now, how do we please God? Verse 6 of Hebrews 11 gives us the answer. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, the word diligently describes one who is in pursuit, pursuing after Christ. Diligently pursuing Him. I wonder if you are my sinner friend, my awakened sinner. Are you diligently pursuing after Christ? And you can't give up. You won't give up. You want to know Him. You desire to know Him. You desire to walk with Him. You desire to fellowship with Him. The word diligently, let me get it again, describes one who is in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. One who will not give up, but one who will persevere unto the end. That's the individual who will win out. That's the individual who will be saved. That individual who will persevere unto the end. Faith believes God. Faith lays hold of the promise. Faith will not let go until the promise is realized. Let's remember that. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, you may do all kinds of things to try to please God, but He's not pleased with what we do. He's pleased in what we believe, He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without Him, without faith.
In all ages, there have been many who attempted to please God without faith. Cain was one of them. He brought the sacrifice, he brought the fruit of the ground, and tried to please God by bringing the works of his own hand. God said, no, I don't want it. Abel pleased him by bringing the ordained sacrifice, the shedding of blood. And God was pleased with the offering of Cain. And he realized that by faith, he believed God. God accepted his sacrifice. Cain did not believe him. Now, there are others who sought after God, but not by faith. How many are seeking after God today? How many individuals want to be saved today? Oh, if I could only be saved. And then they want to do this. And they want to do that. But they will not come and receive faith and grace to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. For any man to walk with God, he first must be reconciled unto Him. Now, you cannot walk with God until you are reconciled by Him by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, by a substitute. Someone wrote in and said, someone was questioning somebody about the word substitute. It's not found in the Bible. Well, my golly, everything the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, He took our place, didn't He? What is that if that's not substitutionary, huh? His substitutionary death on the cross. He died as our sin offering. He took our place. And that's what we call substitution. God has not conformed. God is not conformed to the sinner, but the sinner is conformed unto God. Now let's remember that. God will never be conformed unto you, but He will conform you unto Himself. Amos 3:3 suggests, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can they? How can two of us here this morning walk together unless we agree? You certainly can't. And how can the sinner and God walk together unless they agree, huh? Now, we must agree on the one sin offering. We must agree on the one faith, on the one way of being saved with Him in order to walk with Him. We must think along with God to walk with Him. Enoch walked with God. He thought along with God. And he fellowshiped with Him. He was in the right perspective, we might say. He did not walk for a time and then he lay left. Oh, so many people say, you know, I began walking with God, but I got lost along the way and I was turned back and everything else. Well, my friend, listen, that shows that there was a lack of faith in that life. And therefore, they could not produce a walk of certainty. Walking with God is a certain walk, is a walk that's progressive and never ends. Now, God called me to walk with Him in Christ 20 years ago, and the walking is becoming more sweet, more joyous, more blissful. And I'm looking for the day when He'll take me. And there's no desire for me to walk out of that path. There's a constant progress being made walking. And as the story goes about Enoch, when God came down to walk with him one day, it was in the early mornings, and we might say, he walked over the plains with God out in the mountainside. And they fellowshiped together. I wonder what went on between God and Enoch. I wonder what their conversation was.
I guess Enoch was saying, you know, I don't know why you called me. I don't know why you saved me. I don't know why, my Lord, you want fellowship with me, an old sinner, lost and ruined on the road to hell, and you stop me, and you open my heart, and you reveal thyself unto me as my God, my Jehovah God, the one who saved me, the one who paid my sin debt in full, and forgiven me of all my sins, all my transgressions, and went ahead and prepared a place for me. You've given me a blessed hope, a joyous life. I don't know. I imagine you could think of 1,000 things that Enoch and God was talking about along that way. And then it was taking up the whole day. They weren't concerned about the day, the sunlight, anything. Just walking along and fellowship. Oh, what a companion to have God with you. What a companion to have Him by your side. What a joy. You lose sight of everything. And Enoch was walking along the plains there. He lost sight of his family back there, his cattle, his duties, his chores, whatever it might be. And then it was getting towards sunset. The sun was going down. It was going over the plains and the hills. And after a while, I can hear Enoch saying, Lord, it's time for me to go home now. It's getting dark. I've got my family back there. I've got to take care of my sheep, whatever it might be. And I can, an old Jehovah God, look down upon Enoch. Said, Enoch, now we've traveled a long ways today. And what fellowship we've had together. And to hear you talk about me and about my love. Enoch, I'll tell you what we'll do. Closer to my home up yonder than you are to your home. Come home and be with me. Come home and be with me, my child. God took him. And my friends, I've never delighted myself in my Lord like I have in the last 2 weeks when I was along in my heart to want to go home and be with Him. Finding that fellowship, that companionship that I don't find down here. But only as we walk with Him and fellowship and think along with Him and rejoice in His love, in His mercies, in His compassions, in His forgiveness, in His faithfulness unto us. I've lost sight of everything, just enjoying Him. And I would there are many here today who can do and follow after the same order, like Enoch. He lost sight of everything, taken up with his God, with his Jehovah God, his sacrifice, his sin offering. Oh, my dear friends, it's the greatest joy in this world to know him, to know him, to be a companion of him, of his, to walk along this way that leads to glory. And one day that will be fulfilled. Oh, God, help us this morning, that you get your eyes upon him. Listen, let's go on now. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Now this is understood to calculate agreement, sympathy, and harmony. To walk with God, your nature must correspond to that of God. You must have that new nature. You must have that new heart. You must have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to walk with Him. Light had no communion with darkness. No sinner can walk with God, for he has nothing in common with him. Now let's remember that. No sinner can walk with God, for he has nothing common with him. His mind is enmity against him. Only born-again believers are given the privilege of walking with him. Now this is made possible by a surrendered life, as the Apostle Paul admonishes us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, is that possible? You try. O believer, surrender yourself unto him. Give yourself unto him. To walk with God, there must be a moral fitness on our part. God does not keep company with the unclean. Let's remember that. God does not keep company with the unclean. I want us to turn our Bibles to 1 John again. 1 John. In that first chapter of 1 John, that sixth and the sixth and seventh verses, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You get that reading of God's Word? Walking with God means that we cease having our own way. That's the reason why when a sinner is saved, after that sinner is saved, and never has his own way again. If you continue in your way, if you have your own way about everything, that's a good sign of that way, and that will has never been broken. And you know nothing about the grace of God and the mercies of God. It is the mercies of God, the love of God that breaks our hearts and breaks our will and strips us of our way and with a desire that we don't want our way any longer. I know as we walk with him, it's always, Lord, thy will be done. Thy way, make it mine. Thy way, make it mine. Yes, we cease from having our own way, putting on humility upon our proud heart, putting humility, clothing ourselves in humility, having our heart full of meekness and quietness and deep contrition and a broken heart. We abandon the world's way to follow the divine way, to follow God's way. Which way are you following this morning, may I ask? Are you following your own way? Are you following the world's way? Or are you following your family's way? Or are you following God's way? It is a better way. It's a more happier way. To walk with God, there must be a surrendered will. It must be voluntary. Ah, how the believer, after hearing the admonishing of the Word of God, the exhortation to put on that new man day by day. Listen, how I know from the beginning since God saved me, I can only give what has taken place in my life. But it wasn't long till after God saved me, I was crying, Lord, take me. Take me. Make me. Make me. Use me for your service. Use me for your glory. It was voluntary. I wanted to. I desired to be stripped of everything, to be set aside for His use, for His glory, to be separated from everything, for every sin to be broken in my life, every lustful desire, that everything be overcome to where He would have supreme rule of my life, governed by His Word, controlled by His Spirit. He's answered that prayer. Oh, how He's broken the power of this and the power of that. And He's taken this off and that off. And how I've been putting on by His grace the new man day by day. And it was a voluntary desire to want those things to happen to me. But you hear individuals say, well, I won't give this up. I won't surrender this. I won't surrender that. That shows an individual that still has a will of their own that's never been broken by the Holy Spirit. That's right. Oh, but to desire the things of God as Enoch. Remember, after Methuselah was born, immediately Enoch walked with God. He saw judgment upon this world. He faced it in all of his reality. And my dear friends, there's judgment coming upon this world. And I hope that then my desire, you'll face it in all of its realities. The judgment that's coming upon this world and upon sin. And upon every ungodly individual who will not repent. The judgment of God is waiting, as it did in the days of Noah. Noah walked with God. But Noah went through the through death's portals to enter into the kingdom. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch, God took him. To walk with God, there must be a surrendered will. It must be voluntary. Now, God does not force His company upon any individual. Let's remember that. It's got to be voluntary. God does not force His company upon any individual. Enoch walked with God. Enoch gave evidence that he pleased God. The Lord Jesus Christ set for us an example. His delight was to do the will of His Father. If then we would walk with God, there must be a willingness and readiness on our part. Oh, let me speak to the young people here this morning. If there should be a willingness and a readiness on your part to begin this very moment, that you'll walk with God. Being walking with Him. Walking with Him. You walked in your way too long. All right, now how about begin walking with God? Walk with Him. But there must be a willingness and a readiness on your part. To walk with God implies spiritual communion. Oh, what communion that we have as we walk with Him. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's where our fellowship is. What a fellowship Enoch had with God. Enoch, on the day his first child was born. Now you listen to me. Enoch, on the day his first child was born, he began to lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, and all evil speaking. And as a newborn babe, he desired the sincere milk of the Word that he might grow thereby. He desired the companionship of God. Now let's remember that. Who are they that please God? They are the ones who have been chosen by Him according to His will. Hebrews 13:21. It must be for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. By faith, we are accepted in the Beloved. Faith makes us obedient unto the will of God. Faith has one object in view, the glory of God. It is said of Abraham that he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans 4:20. Enoch had close communion with God. Close communion with God. So close that he forgot about his family, his wife, and everyone else. Now, he had communion with his wife and children, but not like he had with God. He had close communion with Him. Inseparable. God never left him, and he in turn had no desire to leave him. That's right. Oh, believer, do you have a desire to leave God this morning? If you have, if there are things you'd rather have beside God, then you couldn't be a true believer. You certainly can't. You can't be a true believer. A true believer desires communion with God. He desires the sincere milk of the Word whereby he might grow. Now, you think about that. I can't understand fellow people who say, well, I can't help it. I've got to have my good times. I've got to have some of the world. I've got to have the pleasures. That individual knows no communion with God. Doesn't have communion with God. Enoch walked with God 300 years. It's a long time, isn't it? 300 years Enoch walked with God. And here I've been walking with him now a little over 20 years. But Enoch walked 300 years with God after he begat Methuselah. His life was progressive. There was no turning back. It was progressive, moving forward. Many who had started out with him have gone on before him. But Enoch was still walking in the right way with God. How many of us have started out together 20 years ago? Some longer. We're walking together here as God's people. But how many started out with us? They walk no longer with us. Now why is it they were not of us? There was no true faith wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit. They fell off. As the years peel by, and others will join their company. But God will save others, and we'll be fellowshipping and walking in communion with God. Then after a while, God will take maybe one or two of us, some of us, but you'll be still walking. Oh, looking to God by faith, believing Him, enjoying Christ. Yes, many who started out with us, they're not with us any longer. But listen, Enoch was still walking in the right way with God. How many started out with me as I thought about during the past week? They're not with us anymore. But here I am walking with Him who loves me. And He loves His own that are in the world. He'll love them to the end. Enjoying such sweet communion. Listen, my friends. Enoch was still walking in the right way with God. Listen, he was getting nearer and nearer to his heavenly home. Oh, believer, we're not as young as we used to be. We're getting nearer and nearer to our heavenly home. Would you exchange places with that individual in the world, in sin, in his lust? Certainly not. I wouldn't give anything in exchange for my journey now. Would you? We're getting nearer and nearer home. To our heavenly home. The scriptures do not tell us too much about Enoch, but it does tell us he walked with God, and God took him. Not too much. Listen, my friends, he walked with God, and God took him. And then he pleased God, Hebrews tells us. We must also remember that Enoch's circumstances and environments were generally the same as ours. You may have thought that he lived in a less evil age than we live in today, but it was just as wicked, just as lustful, just as full of sin as it is today. And I've often heard my late pastor say that if an individual who is saved can live the greatest Christian life right here in New Orleans with all of his sin. And I know after God saved me, I wonder how can I, with so much evil around me. But I found the grace of God was sufficient. And it is so. If you know Christ, if you walking with Him, fellowshipping with God, the Father and God the Son, you can live the greatest Christian life right here in New Orleans that you can live anywhere else, right here. Because these things mean nothing to you. Everything. God means everything to you. Christ means everything to you. Salvation in Christ means everything to you. There's nothing else you desire. It's going on all around us. But there you walking with God. You walking with Him. Yes. His environments were generally the same as ours. He was a public man. He worked out in the public. He was a family man. He had a family, had children. He lived in a very evil age, like we live in today. Still, his testimony was that he pleased God above all the evil. He bore witness of a living God. God called Enoch unto fellowship with Him. That makes the difference. God calling you. That makes the difference. Just a mere dry profession will not do. You cannot walk with God with just making the decision. You have to be called of God, like every individual who ever gets saved is called of God to fellowship with Him, through the Son, through Christ, through the shed blood. So, he bore witness of a living God. We come now to the close of Enoch's walk. He could say, and the Apostle Paul was able to say, I've finished my course. I've run my race, and therefore is laid up for me a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness. Well, Enoch has come to the end of life's way now. To the end of that walk, he run his course, walking and yet running, but walking circumspectly before the world, living righteously before the world, moving on towards that perfect day.
He was not found, which indicates that they looked for him because God translated him. Enoch was not found. My friends, if God delays his coming, it takes one of us here today, tomorrow, one here and there. You look for them, cannot find them. What happened to them? What happened to them? What happened to Pastor Gale? God took him. Either through the portals of death or in the rapture. Or what happened to brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so? God took them. Look for them. Where are they? Call up the office. Where are they? Where is he? God took him. He's going home to be with the Lord, just like God took our late pastor. God took him. His course was run. He fought a good fight. God took him. See? He was not found, which indicates that they looked for him because God translated him. He left a heaven-born testimony. He pleased God. Let that be said of every one of us. When we come to the end of life's way, it can be said of us. It was said of that dear woman who poured the ointment upon our Lord's head. She did what she could. She did what she could. He did what he could for the glory of God, for the salvation of sinners. He pleased God. What a Christ he had. What a Christ he exalted. What a Christ he demonstrated in his life. What evidence he gave of saving faith, of living faith, of dying faith in Christ. Let it be said of me, when I come to die, he pleased God. He did what he could. He wasn't much, didn't know much, but he did what he could for the glory of God and the salvation of sinners. We must leave in radio land. Here is next Sunday morning, the Voice of Truth broadcast, 7 to 8. 10 o'clock Bible school, the air, and the 11 o'clock worship hour. Goodbye. God bless you. Will you begin walking with God this morning? Will you come to Christ with a surrendered will, a broken heart? Lord, take me. Lord, take me. It's a voluntary desire of yours. Take me. Let me walk with thee. See, God didn't have to beg Enoch to walk with him. He voluntarily walked with him. He wanted to. Enoch walked with God. That's the beginning of it. At the end of it, God took him. And his testimony was that he pleased God. And if you please God, God will take you. God will save you. God will take you home with him when you please him. And how do we please him? They that come to God must believe that he is. He's a reward of them that diligently seek him. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. So you must come to him. He may grant you saving faith, walking faith, living faith, dying faith, going home faith. And then faith shall be turned to sight. No more need for faith. God bless us this morning. God hear us. Turn to the Lord. It's my prayer that you will.
in Christ's name. Let's stand. Our Father, this morning, our hearts overflow with love and joy, peace. And our dear Heavenly Father, to know what love you have for poor mortals as we, you call us in fellowship with thee to be a companion of thine. What joy, Lord Jesus, what love you had for us, that you would enable us by thy death, thy burial, thy resurrection to walk with our Father. Oh, precious Lord, move mightily in our midst upon the hearts of every individual, that they'll begin this day walking with thee. In Christ's name we ask it, Father, and for his sake. Amen.